lower 90s tomorrow with a little bit of a south breeze. Friday night, dropping off to a low of 58. Sunshine is back Saturday and Sunday. 90 for the high on Saturday. Sunday, dropping off a little bit. Sunny 74. We'll stay in the mid-70s Monday. Then next Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll be in the mid-60s for highs. So it'll feel, I think that's where we're supposed to be, aren't we?
Fall, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so pretty good forecast all the way to Wednesday of next week.
All right, thank you, Chris. Our weather update is brought to you by Getchman Heating and Air Conditioning, technicians you can trust with your house keys. Call 721-6301. Good morning. It's 7:05. It is Morning Fremont on a Thursday, September 24th of 2020. With Chris Walls, I'm Rich Ray. News, weather, and sports all coming up in just a bit, but we'd like to welcome into the studio this morning Mark Shepherd, the superintendent of Fremont Public Schools, as we have another update on what's going on with FPS. Good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Good.
Thanks for stopping by. I guess we start off talking about the risk dial and how that's affecting the school right now. And as far as in Dodge County, we understand the risk dial went up just a touch, right?
It did go up a touch. It actually went back to where we were a couple weeks ago. It went from 1.75 to 1.88. And in talking with Three Rivers Public Health, I think it's mainly due to testing. Had a few less tests this week and had a few more positive tests this week. And so when you look at that formula, the positivity rate went up. I talked with Tara Ewing yesterday, and the good news is we're still in a pretty good spot as far as hospitalization, as far as the number of ventilators being used, and the 48-hour contact tracing. And that's really been the saving grace through this whole process, is the contact tracing has been really, really good. And we work directly with Three Rivers on that. Their people are so professional and do just a great job.
Yeah, I can't imagine having that job because let's say, for example, you know, a student has been involved and you have to contact the student and go, okay, who have all you been in contact with in the last
Have you been in contact
wow.
with?
Wow.
Yeah.
It is a challenge. And, you know, one of the things that we continue to see and we've got to do better at is when a student or a staff member gets tested, they really need to stay home until they get those results back.
Right.
That is hard. You know, you don't want to miss your classes, and you don't want that stigma on you either that, oh, no, so-and-so has COVID. Well, it's not – I mean, it is a bad thing, but it's not that bad.
Well, and the difficulty is, depending on the severity of their symptoms, you know, or did they just go get tested because of an exposure potentially? You know, they're feeling good. They feel like they need to get back in school. They don't want to miss anything. And then, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 days later, all of a sudden they get a positive test. Then we have to backtrack and trace all of those contacts, which makes it more difficult.
Right. So you've had an increase as far as some students are beginning concerns. Is that right?
We've had a little bit of an uptick in the number of students. We'll have our final numbers, obviously, tomorrow, and we'll release that publicly. But we know that we have, and we've said from the beginning, we're going to have COVID-19 cases, and we have had since day one of opening the school year. We have 4,800 students, about 4,100 students currently in-person learning, and about 800 employees. And so when you have that type of numbers, you're going to have some people when there's an active virus in the community.
Yeah. Mark Shepherd joining us, the superintendent of Fremont Public Schools, with our update here this morning. And as far as there have been some families that have decided, okay, I'm going to have my kids go on back to school if they've been doing at-home learning.
We have had some movement back to in-person learning, and the system that we implemented was really designed for some fluidity. We wanted the fluidity because we wanted people who maybe had a positive test or had to quarantine due to an exposure have the ability to jump onto the online learning so they didn't miss a beat with the classroom learning and then come back when they were able to. We also, you know, I think a week ago we had about 760 students that were on online learning. We're down just under 700 now. So we've had quite a few that have decided to come back. Brent Cudley, who's leading that program, sent out an email to all of the individuals involved in online learning, reminding them that the end of the quarter is coming up. Last week was midterm, so we had midterm grades that went out. And I think we all know that learning in person is going to be better than online learning. Mm-hmm. I know when I was taking some of my graduate courses, towards the end of my graduate career, there were online classes that suddenly became available, it didn't really work well for me. And I think some of our kids and some of our families are figuring that out too.
Yeah, interaction is important, and it's hard to have that via the computer, that's right, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, if they do want to move back, they just need to contact their building principal, and we'll make accommodations to get them back into the classroom. Again, because of the design, they really shouldn't miss a beat because the lessons are coinciding with the in-person lessons in each of the classrooms.
We talked so much about COVID-19 and who can be in, who's in school and who's not because of that situation. We can't forget about the flu.
flu and cold season right around the corner.
right. And so as far as that is concerned, are there flu shots that are available?
Flu shots are available throughout the community. I think you're starting to see some signs at even the grocery stores and the pharmacies in town, and obviously clinics throughout the community. We're going to host some flu shot clinics. We do that every year, but we're trying to put a little more emphasis on it this year because we know that we're going to have students that are going to get influenza. We know people are going to have colds and they're going to have flu this fall and winter. And because the symptoms are very similar to COVID-19, we want to make sure we can do whatever we can do as far as our part to help prevent people from getting sick. And, you know, from the very beginning, we were temperature testing and we continue to do that. And if an individual has a fever, they need to stay home until they're 24 hours fever free. I think the flu shots have been proven to work over time. This year, probably more than ever, we need to have people considering getting a flu shot. And we'll have some sites, as I mentioned. If you go to our website or you can go to Three Rivers website, ours is fpstigers.org, or Three Rivers website, you can see when those opportunities happen. And we just want to remind people that we are 100% masked. So individuals coming in for a flu shot need to make sure that they wear a mask.
So many things have changed because of the COVID-19 this year. And talk to us a little bit, if you would, about the school lunch program. Has that changed a little bit?
You know, it has changed. It changed last spring when we started the summer feeding program in March, which wasn't exactly summer yet. And we were able to, over the summer, Rowan Lang and his staff were able to deliver about 149,000 meals. And to put that in perspective, that's typically about 9,000 meals for a summer feeding program. So it's staggering. It's unbelievable for a community our size to have our public schools be able to serve the community in that fashion. USDA recently opened up a program that's going to be available through December 31st, provided that funding's available. And right now it looks like it's going to be where every student, preschool through K-12, can receive a free lunch every day. And so there's not a guideline as far as a requirement for income or anything like that. I think it's goes back to the whole issue of food security. And we know that if a student doesn't have shelter, if they don't have food security, if they don't have safety and well-being, learning is going to become very secondary to them. And so it's a great opportunity. We implemented it beginning this week. We put out some information last week. We just want to remind people that that opportunity is there.
Got a couple minutes left here with Mark Shepherd, Superintendent of Fremont Public Schools. Obviously, you still have athletic events that are going on, which is great. But you want to, once again, remind folks that wearing a mask is pretty important?
It's really important. As we look at contact tracing and we look at how it works, we do not want our students to miss a single athletic event if they don't have to, or an activity as far as that goes. And so our protocol is masks are required, both for indoor activities and outdoor activities. We're going to host the cross-country meet this Saturday, which will be a little different. We won't be at Valley View. We'll be over at our Johnson Park facilities and around the park area. But masks are required, both indoor and out. We want to, continue to maintain social distancing. For the indoor facilities, we'll continue to do temperature checks as people come in. And I think it's also important to talk about wearing the mask appropriately. See a lot of people that put them down around their chin.
Right.
And they, it needs to cover your mouth and nose. And it's to protect you, but it's also to protect the people around you.
Mm-hmm. Each school district has their own rule on this, don't they?
They do.
Because I've gone to some schools to where I show up and I've got my mask on and 95% of the people aren't wearing them. I'm like, oh, this is different.
Yeah, it really depends. Yeah. NSAA early on recognized the fact that no two school districts are really the same mm-hmm. when it comes to, number one, the amount of COVID within the community. Number two, the amount of exposure and how well you can social distance. And so we put together our blueprint for reopening. Districts across the state did very similar type planning. And, you know, the first thing you look at is 6 foot. And can we get to 6 foot? And if we can, we don't need to wear masks. If we can't get to 6 foot of distancing, then obviously you have to provide other methodology for protecting people. And so we went with the mask. We could not achieve 6 foot in most of our classrooms. And you know, if we want to have a fan base, it's very difficult to achieve 6 feet. So, but as we travel and we go to other school districts to participate in athletic events, you're really subject to their protocol. And so, which leads to a little bit of confusion because they might go to a sporting event in another community and say, well, they didn't have to wear masks. Why do we have to when we go to Memorial Stadium or Hedium Field here? Right. And, but it is our protocol. It's what we've worked with Three Rivers Public Health on to identify a way to keep our students on the field, on the courts, and so it's the protocol that we're going to continue to follow, even right. with the, you know, DHM moving us to phase four of reopening.
All right. There's some places to where they'll let everybody in, other places that's very restricted on who can come. So it's great that Fremont Public Schools continues to get out the message to everybody about, okay, at this particular event, here's these restrictions and rules.
Yeah, and we were able to open up our student section this past Friday night, mm-hmm. which was really good. They got to see an awesome game yeah. and an unbelievable finish. Yeah. You know, congratulations to our football team. They just did a great job out there. And new coach Lee Jennings, that was quite a victory. I don't know if you saw that play, but it was a little bit of trickery at the end and yeah. kind of reminded me of Eric Crouch quite a few years ago, getting the pass back to him. But it was really good. And we were glad we were able to, you know, high school, the high school experience is more than just in the classroom. That's and it's more than just on the field. It's also in the stands and the students being able to support each other and go watch their friends. And so we were able to open that section up this last week, and that was really good.
Yeah, and so and the kids are doing a good job by adhering to all the restrictions too. So
they're doing a great job, and our teachers are doing a great job in the classrooms. And you know, we've had an awesome start to the school year, and we just need to keep it going.
Sounds good. Mark Shepherd, Superintendent of Fremont Public Schools, stopping by this morning. Thank you so much for the information and the time this morning, and have yourself a great rest of your week.
All right, you too. Thanks, Rich.
Thanks, Mark. It is 7:17. Let's get to our local news update with Chris Walls. News this half hour presented by Deers Ford in Fremont, a Nebraska family business since 1938, offering quality auto sales, service, parts, and body shop.
Good morning. Time for a look at your news on this Thursday.